This is CliffCentral.com.
Under control. CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning, just about 7 o'clock, bright and early. It is getting a little chillier. You can feel, you know, the very hot edge of summer has started to move slightly to the left. Do you know what I mean?
Well, also in up in these parts, it's become a thing now where I say, give us this day our daily storm. It's almost like clockwork, except yeah. The other day it was, last night it was a bit later.
Shepherd's delight.
A red sky in the morning is a shepherd's warning. A red sky at night is a shepherd's delight.
I still don't know what that means. And I'm going to pretend I know what you're talking about and you haven't lost your mind. All right.
Professor at the university, Duke University in the US, which is pretty prestigious, has now stepped down because she sent out an email warning Chinese students against communicating in their native language and urged them to speak English instead.
Huh?
Yeah, she has stepped down as the head of a master's program and apologized after her emails sparked outrage on campus and on social media. Further investigation has been called for, the claims that those speaking Chinese outside of class might not be given the same opportunities as other students are coming out of her emails as well.
I don't understand.
She said in her email...
What's the problem? People aren't meant to speak Chinese?
Yeah, so she said, I had two separate faculty members come to my office today and ask if I had pictures of the MB students. I shared with them the headshots of the first and second year, blah, blah, blah. She says, they were observed speaking Chinese very loudly in the student lounge study areas. I asked them why they were curious about the students' names. Both faculty members replied that they wanted to write down the names so they could remember them if the students were ever interviewed for an internship or asked to work with them for a master's project, because they should not get the job having spoken a non-native language in the building.
So, in other words, you can't speak Chinese in this university.
I encourage you to commit to using English 100% of the time when you are in any class or any other professional setting.
Yeah, well, imagine we had that rule in this country.
Yeah, exactly.
People just talk whatever they, you know. There's Afrikaans, there's English, there's Zulu, there's Tswana, there's Sotho, there's Xhosa, there's everything. I don't know.
She's now apologized.
It's very bizarre. Well, yeah, apologize. Step off. Sivengesi, how are you, sir?
Hey, good, you, Gav Cliff.
Yeah, good, man. I saw you met Usain Bolt over the weekend.
Yeah, I won't lie. I never fan over people, but that man is cool.
He is, huh? Isn't he cool? And where were you guys, at the Met?
Yeah, we're at the Met, yes.
How was the Met?
I don't know, man. They've made some changes. There's less budget, so they've cut down on things.
Yeah.
They've separated everyone. So it's been better, man. It's just not the same.
Yeah, I don't think the upper class go to the Met anymore. I really do. I think it's very ordinary and very, very middle of the road, and it's been watered down to the point now where actually it's not a very prestigious thing to be at the Met. It's kind of a bit boring.
I think in a few years they're going to be racing dogs and not horses, my friend.
Yeah, watch. It's going to happen. That's exactly right. Soon the working classes really will take over. So tell me, Usain Bolt, did you guys have a chat?
Yeah, I had a chat.
What did you talk about?
It's weird because I was trying to get a picture since last year when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling him how... It's a true story. My mother used to only get Mnet for me to watch the 100 meters and the 200 meters. But but before his time, I said, my mother used to, every 4 years for a month, she would get Mnet so I could watch the Olympics. But when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And then she used to commentate the 100 meters race. So they'd be warming up and she'd be like, you see, they're warming up now. But they've been training for 4 years. Not just now. It's very important. Then they would walk out and one would be like, yeah, you see the guy. You can already see who's going to win. the guy with the chest out, he's going, he looks like he's going to win. And he'd be like, but she'll commentate the whole thing for me. And she used to make analogies to life about the process of hard work and success.
That's amazing.
So I told him the story, and he was like, he was like, oh man, that's inspiring. He said, I'm going to share it online. And he took my my handle, and then he took a picture with me. And he was like, I'm going to share it during the week. But my mom did that when I was young. So my mom she couldn't afford Mnet throughout the whole for long, but she could afford it for 1 month of the 4 years.
Well, dude, that's beautiful, because they usually say don't meet your heroes. But in this case, it sounds like it went well.
Yeah, it's weird. I've met Nelson Mandela. I've met Hussein Bolt. I just haven't met two other heroes, but it's too late. And that's Ali and Freddie Mercury. But I think it's too late to meet them.
Now, Siv, by the time you met him, what sort of state was he in? Because he can throw a drink back at this point.
Was he drunk?
Yeah, the man can drink.
There we go.
The man can drink, and the man likes taking on a woman. Woo!
Well, he's a specimen.
Come through with the scoop.
Of course. I mean, hell. You know, it shouldn't be difficult.
He's a destroyer.
Yeah, if you are the world's number one athlete, there are going to be a lot of women who go, let me try that out for size.
Technically, he's the second world's best athlete. Technically, Phelps is better.
No, nonsense. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I don't. No, I'm
Google
sorry.
Google it now. No. Google it now.
F-U and Google. Usain Bolt was the fastest man alive, and that to me counts for far more than someone who swims. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, on technicality, Phelps has won more golds.
Yeah, but please, man.
And on different...
There's probably some
different event.
There's probably someone who does the javelin who's got a whole bunch of gold medals, and we don't know who they are. Stop it. 100-meter sprint's the most important event at the Olympics.
When it comes to debating sport, that's one thing I have over you, Gareth.
Yeah, you probably do. Yeah, all right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Listen, can we talk about politics for a minute? I see your girlfriend Helen Zille is calling for a tax tax revolt.
I love the woman, but sometimes she says things that I'm like, I know she means well.
I think this is the most.
Nothing does mean well.
I think this is the most sensible thing any politician has said for the last 4 years. We've watched government steal everything that they can get their hands on. Steal it. They are so rotten. There's probably not a minister in our cabinet at the moment who hasn't got filthy, dirty hands that are elbow deep into the till. And here she is saying, well, cut off the supply. I don't see how that could be wrong. What do you think?
I think she could word it better. I think she's quite blunt. I think there are ways to word it better. I think there's definitely ways to word it better. I definitely agree. Because the e-tolls, we somewhat as a country got together and we said, F you guys, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, and we all got together and we agreed on that, right? But I think for this one, I think she definitely could have worded it better. Don't you think?
So you think it's all in the packaging, but the idea is good.
I think the idea is good. I think the concept's good. But I think it's definitely, I think she's also, I think she's not the best. But I know her. I know her. When I speak to her, she says things. And you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. And she loves this country so much. But then when she gets to tweeting, she has such a limited time to tweet things.
Yeah.
But she tweets, she sees things of her.
Dude, it's also because Twitter's become such an awful place that you actually can't share good ideas or bad ideas on Twitter. They're all bad ideas in the eyes of some people. But what I want to ask you was.
Yeah. Let me give you an example. I shared the picture of me and Hussein Bolt on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Black Twitter's reply was, what the hell are you wearing? What are you wearing? Mm. What a terrible outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're so short. Look how short you are. Oh, my God, look at you. Can I look at myself? What? I'm standing with the same dog, and all you can tell me is that I have a shit outfit for the Met.
Yeah,
wow.
But Siv, you know, we've got to realize, like, the big problem with Black Twitter is that they don't have therapy because none of them can afford it, and they grew up in houses where they got no love from either one or both of their parents. And a lot of people on Black Twitter are just deeply, deeply disturbed psychologically. And they'll take it out on anyone who they think has got a better life than them. It's pure resentment and ugliness. And we know that. That shouldn't surprise anyone. You put up a lovely picture of you with one of your heroes. For them, it's an occasion to take a stab at you so that they can feel a little bit better about their shit, meaningless lives.
For me, they entertain me. For me, I always say this, and people always give me shit about it, but me, I'm a lion, my friend. I don't care what sheep think. Me, I'm an eagle. I don't fly with pigeons. So for me, sometimes I sit around and I might take a little bite at one of them or two or swoop down and kill one of them. It's amazing. I have a great time with those people.
Can I ask you something else while we're on Black Twitter? I mean, you always get shit from people because you're very outspoken politically, even though you don't have to be. I mean, you could have been one of those TV presenters who has no opinions. You could have been an actor who never says anything. You just quietly get about doing your job, but you don't. You speak out, and then you get called a coconut, and you get called an Uncle Tom, and all kinds of other disgusting things. Many more things. What was your position on voting and registering to vote this weekend?
My view is pretty clear. I don't believe you can bitch and moan about this country if you have a weapon in your... You have artillery to do something. And I know it sounds like something so stupid and cliche, but you putting your name next to a flipping voting is so, so important. I feel like if you don't vote, you're a piece of shit. And you can say nothing about this country if you don't vote. I know it sounds so stupid, but I really feel like if you're South African and you have the capabilities to vote and you're old enough to vote, you should be voting. You should be putting your name in. And here's another thing. This might sound extreme. I know it's not possible. There's two things that I feel should be compulsory, right? And then you should vote out of them. And that's giving blood should be compulsory. Giving blood and being an organ donor should be compulsory. Voting should be somewhat compulsory.
You know
and
what?
You decide, I
love you, but I would hate to live in Sivengesi Nation because I'm not going to be compelled to have to go and have blood extracted from me like a tax every couple of weeks because you think it's a good idea. And don't you touch my organs. How dare you?
Don't touch me on my organs.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Listen to this again. I believe organ donation, giving blood, and voting should be compulsory. And then you decide to sign out of it.
Oh, no. So you mean the default setting is that you are an organ donor and you are a blood donor, but then you can sign out. You can say, I don't want to do this. Okay, good. All right, so we do.
I don't want to be.
You have the ability to opt out, like those horrible SMSs that you get from someone who subscribed you to some crap you didn't want. Yeah, okay.
So in other words, the effort is for you to go and sign out. That's
okay.
The effort.
I'll do
and
that.
And if your religion doesn't believe in it, then cool. But come on, guys, an organ, you're not going to need it. Your blood, come on, man. And a vote, for sacrament, you lazy bastard.
Okay.
That's my view. The country that I want to live in.
Did you go around campaigning for people to register, or did you tell all your friends to register, or what did you do?
I put out a couple of tweets, obviously, and I put out a couple of Insta stories and all that kind of stuff. And then I amongst our friends, we always have these conversations about elections and voting and the state of our nation. It's all about telling people to vote. I have a couple of friends of mine who've never voted. So we've all grown up together in the same area. So we've all made quite a day of it. We're all going to go for a meal before Kosam Kak. Have some drinks, and we're all going to go to stand in the line together and vote in a big group from high school.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're doing.
We all go to the same line.
You're doing your bit, but I still don't know. Even if we're registered, who the hell do I vote for? I don't like any of these parties. I don't like one of them.
Listen here, my friend. If our top three options are ANC, DA, and EFF, what a mess. For me, and I know you like the same guy, I'm going UDM. Bajola Misa is an incredible man, the only man who makes sense still in politics, the only man who respects in that flipping parliament, the only man who, when he speaks, everyone keeps quiet. He's an incredible human, a great soul. And let's be honest, ANC was much better when they were full of Khoisas. Khoisas all the way. I'm
You tribalist. Can't believe we're descending into tribalism. Yeah, all right, Siv and Gessie, thanks, dude. Nice to talk to you.
Gareth, UDM, brother. UDM.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Let's consider it. Cheers, bro. Bye. There's Siv and Gessie. Look at him.
Yeah, he's got some really valid points.
Well, yes. He's not touching my organs. Don't compel people to do anything. I mean, I like the fact that he says you can opt out and that the default setting is that everyone is an organ donor, because I suppose that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then if you go to the trouble of opting out, you can keep everything. But
I like the idea, I must say.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I am an organ donor and because I do register to vote.
No one can use your organs.
No, not mine in particular.
Don't be ridiculous.
I think they might be able to use my corneas, you see.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
But
with your corneas.
But the rest I'm not so sure of.
I had a nurse come around yesterday. I had to do my annual blood tests.
Yes. Right.
She came around yesterday afternoon and she took like 3 tubes of blood.
Mm.
Now, she says it's only 5 mils a tube, but that's 15 mils of blood. I was very, very bitter about that. I don't want to give away blood. She says it's for my own good. She's going to check my cholesterol. She's going to check my blood glucose, all that stuff. I said, look, just leave me alone. How dare you? All right. Do you want to get a call or do you want to tell us some more stuff in the news?
Well, if you've got a call,
I've
then...
I've got a call, yeah.
Let's go.
You want to get a call? Let's do Mark. Hey, Mark, what's up, dude?
All good, thanks. Just a call to revolt against the tax. Can we not get our listeners involved? Get lawyers involved that can tell us what we can do. Get like a delegate myself inside my company to walk around and actually hand out the forms so legally we can actually tell the company to pay this money into the trust.
I'm sure we can. Do you know anything about this? I mean, are you the guy that we
No, not at all. I'm just the guy that's really, really chipped with the way that the country's been run.
Yeah.
And would like to do something.
Yeah. All right. I'm up for it too, dude. If we can find a way, we must do it. I think Helen Zille is the right one to lead this because she's actually got credibility.
It's nice that she's saying it, but is she going to actually do something? Because, am I going to get this legal document sent to me so that I can sign it so I can force my company to pay my money?
You might have to do some of the heavy lifting yourself. I don't think it's just going to happen, but I mean, at least someone who has proven she has a track record of getting things done, she's your best bet at getting this government nervous about a tax revolt. Trust me.
Okay, so we just wait for her and see what she can follow her lead.
Yes, dude. Speak to you later.
But I think it's just me time left. Thanks, mate.
All right, bye. There we go. There's Mark.
Mm.
Mark.
Marcus.
Mm-hmm. All right. What did you want to tell us about?
Oh, I want to tell you 16 Google interview questions have been banned.
Why?
Because they were so tough.
You mean they were... Okay, can we do some of them?
Yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah. All right. Everybody take part. Here we go. If you want to do the Google quiz, let's see how well you do.
I don't have the answers.
No, but
I've just got the questions.
We can surmise the answers. All right, go.
Why are manhole covers round? I would have said because going in and out of it, it shouldn't have sharp edges.
No, it's not. It's that the square ones can fall through if you put them diagonally.
Yes.
Whereas if it's round, it can't fall in.
You've got the job.
Okay.
Oh. Blah, 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 blah. How many times a day do a clock's hands overlap?
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
I wouldn't even want to try.
It's 12 times something.
It's more than 12.
12.
I think it's something times something. That's what I think.
I'd say it's 24 times.
I would say 144 times.
Again, I don't have the answers.
Leanne, what is...
I'm sorry, I did warn.
Let's look it up. How many times a day...
Do a clock's hands... Overlap.
Let's just see if this... Now, if Google can't answer this, then I don't know. Let's see. How many times a day?
Wait.
22.
Okay, so
only
you went
22
far off.
Times?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Implies the first overlap happens at the top of the hour. Similarly, the second time they overlap, the minute hand would have completed 2 more laps than the hour hand. So, for N overlaps, we have T equals T over 12 plus N. That's the hands 22 times a day. All right.
Okay. Another question.
Just got cold sweats when it went in.
So I was wrong by the 2. Tea. I was right. I said 24, but that depends on where you start. Okay, go on.
Okay, another question, which we probably won't be able to do, is explain a database in 3 sentences to your 8-year-old nephew.
In 3 sentences?
It is an indexed... Oh, you've got a 3-year-old nephew. How do you use the word indexed?
A thing where a bunch of information is stored.
Yeah, but you have to say that it's also searchable and indexable. So how do you do that? I don't know. That's a stupid question. Next.
You have to get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. You don't know if you can get there. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
Waze. Not Google.
Not Google Maps. Okay, how many golf balls can fit into a school bus?
Oh, what a question. What a dumb question.
I know, they're horrible.
Golf balls in a school bus. What kind of person would ever ask that? Okay, next.
You are shrunk to the height of a nickel. Okay. And your mass is proportionately reduced, mm-hmm, so as to maintain your original density. Mm-hmm. You are then thrown into an empty glass blender. Mm-hmm. The blades will start moving in 60 seconds. What do you do?
Well, if you've shrunk to the size of a nickel and you put into an empty glass blender, that means there's no liquid to pick you up and put you into the blade. So if you... Technically, you could lie down under them.
I can't believe you actually took the time to think of that.
How long have you got to?
60 seconds. Hmm. It seems like bit too much time just to
density,
be able to.
Your density is the same. Yeah, so you can't just float up. Yeah, you'd have to just lie under the blades. I think, I would guess. Because if there isn't any liquid in there, it can't pick you up and propel you into the blades. So if you just lie down under them and you hold on to something, I think you might survive. All right.
I would have given anything else? Now.
This is fun.
Do you want more?
Well,
how many piano tuners are there in the entire world?
Oh, come on.
Nobody
knows ridiculous. That.
And what does this say about the job you're applying for?
Next.
How much would you charge to wash all the windows in Seattle?
Goodbye.
Billions of dollars. Go on.
You need to check that your friend Bob has your correct phone number, mm-hmm, but you cannot ask him directly. And then it says here, you must write the question on a card and give it to Eve, who will take the card to Bob and return the answer to you. What must you write on that card besides the question to ensure that Bob can encode the message so that Eve cannot read your phone number? Ay, ay, ay. I mean, really, I'm so glad they've been banned, because when I go and get interviewed at Google, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to work at Google after that question. Jeez. How many golf balls in a school bus? Do me a favor, get out of here.
Can we actually talk about what I will do in the company and
no.
How I'm qualified or why I think I'm great for the job?
So bizarre.
All right.
So bizarre.
Well, we learned 2 or 3 interesting things out of it, so it's not a complete waste of time.
Yeah, exactly.
I hurt my head from the equation. No, thank you.
I don't know if you've seen what's going on in Venezuela. Do you want to know?
Yes, please.
So Nicolas Maduro is the president of Venezuela. He took over after Hugo Chavez, and the place has descended into... I suppose the left call it a socialist paradise where everybody's starving. So there's equal starvation. Mm. People are eating their dogs.
Oof.
They can't get medical care. They're queuing up for toilet paper. It's an unmitigated disaster. And yet there are some people defending this. They're saying, oh no, Maduro's trying to help. And Hugo Chavez was great because he took the oil reserves and he helped people become rich. Well, I don't see any rich people in Venezuela now, and I don't see anyone living a happy life except Nicolas Maduro. So this other dude who's the opposition leader has declared himself president, and he's got the support of the National House of Representatives.
Oh, jeez.
And he's also got the support of a couple of countries, and you tell me which group of countries we belong in, all right? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know? Okay, so here are the countries that like Maduro. Russia, China, Iran, Turkey, Syria, Cuba, Bolivia, Nicaragua.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
Here are the countries that like Guaido. who is the self-declared acting president. US, UK, EU, Canada, Paraguay, Brazil, Chile, Peru, Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Guatemala, Argentina, Honduras. Guess which group we belong to?
Definitely the second.
Nope.
Really?
We support Nicolas Maduro. Dumb Lindiwe Sisulu and the International Affairs Department have backed this idiot, lunatic, socialist dictator, Nicolas Maduro, over this Guaido. We've said, no, we support Maduro. We're in the same category as Russia, China, Iran, Turkey, Syria, Cuba, Bolivia, and Nicaragua. All the winning countries.
Did she do her research?
No, of course not. And I got this video from someone who will remain nameless at this point about how evil this Guaido is and how it's all a U.S. conspiracy. You know, the fact that 2.5 million people have fled Venezuela. They fled over the borders. There was a documentary that was on Netflix the other day about this woman who runs a cemetery for all the dead Venezuelans. She lives in Colombia. She runs the cemetery for all the dead Venezuelans. Now, I'd like those conspiracy theorists who think that this is a Western plot to make socialism look bad. Tell me where those bodies came from. Those hundreds of bodies that are lying in that cemetery that this woman has opened for Venezuelans inside Colombia so that their relatives can find a place to bury their loved ones. Mm. I'd like her to tell me. I'd like him or her, the person who believes that Nicolas Maduro is a good guy and that Hugo Chavez's legacy is being tainted by the Americans, the imperialist Americans. I'd like you to tell me where those bodies come from. And I'd like you to explain the 2.5 million refugees who have fled a country that used to be prosperous, that used to be capable, that used to be a place that people, they would win Miss World contests. That was the most controversial thing that would ever happen to them. Now they're starving and queuing for everything, basic necessities. It's really worked out well. Socialism wins everywhere it goes. How many more people must die for this evil ideology to die with it?
And you said earlier it's easy to draw comparisons with Zimbabwe.
It is. Similar nonsense going on in the heads of both the leaders of Zimbabwe and of Venezuela. But, you know, we've got people who think it's great. They keep telling us it's so awesome. And I love the way you can find people to defend socialism every time, unless you bring up Venezuela and they suddenly run out of words. Then suddenly they shut up and the media, they're quiet. No one can find an interview. No one can ask them on their shows. Mainstream media is dead quiet about Venezuela. They'll talk about all the disastrous things that are going on with Trump. What an evil man he is. Ask him about Nicolas Maduro, the crickets.
Mm-mm.
Good work, South African media. Once more, proving that you're so objective.
Yikes.
Get that out of my system.
All right.
Well, it's a heavy thing, though. Jeez.
It's a hugely heavy thing. 2.5 million people leaving a country and you tell me it's a good place? Go to hell. All right.
Here's something new that we should be paying attention to. So, sadly, I have to bring up the story. Colin Rex was so last year with Parktown Boys.
Who's he again? Just remind us.
Colin Rex, Parktown Boys, water polo coach.
Oh, he's the one who used several of the people there. Right, okay.
Yes, because that's so 2018. Now there's a new scandal that's coming out of Bryanston High School here in Johannesburg.
Uh-oh.
Mandy Wiener has actually broken the story for the first time, saying that a 33-year-old Bryanston High School employee was arrested last week and has actually even appeared already in court. They appeared at the Alexandra Regional Court. This is what police have now confirmed. This 33-year-old employee is now been pinned after a 17-year-old pupil at the school and her mother opened a sexual offences case against him. For now, legally, the man cannot be named, so we do not have his.
It's interesting. I was about to bring that up because he's appeared in court.
Mm. And he's 33. It's not like he's a child himself.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe there was some sort of special stipulation.
Yeah. For now, all we know is that he's been suspended from his job pending the finalization of a disciplinary hearing. So it's also understood that at least three female pupils have come forward with allegations against the man. And they say this member of staff is actually someone who they refer to as a father figure. And these are various sexual assaults that took place throughout 2017 and 2018 during netball matches and on school outings.
Mm.
So, yeah, a parent of one of the people who have stepped forward to complain has confirmed all of this to the media. So let's see. The man is also facing an additional charge of financial mismanagement.
Mm, so all round nice guy.
Brilliant, brilliant individual. And it's also alleged that he was receiving money from pupils and their parents, but that he was not depositing the funds into the school accounts that was required.
Mm.
So yeah, let's keep our eye on this one right now.
The Spectator has published a list of countries that trust politicians.
Oh.
Can you read the whole list in 15 seconds?
No, but it goes up to 137, and we are number 114. So we really don't trust our politicians. Do you know which country trusts their politicians the most?
Denmark or Switzerland.
Mm-mm. Singapore. Singapore, hugely successful.
It's delightful.
Abundant.
I think if you
productive.
If you ask North Korea, they'd be at number one, right?
North Korea.
Because they have to.
Well, they don't have an option.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they should be at number one. But Singapore is the country that trusts politicians the most, followed by the UAE.
Okay.
Then New Zealand.
Yeah.
Then Qatar, then Finland, then Norway, then the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Switzerland. Then Rwanda at number 10. Because Kagame has done a very good job of getting things working. He promises things and he delivers. I mean, it's very autocratic there, but he gets things done.
I don't know what that's like.
It's very autocratic or...
No, I don't know. Getting things done. Yeah.
No, politicians in this country.
Delivering on promises.
Our people don't do that here.
I didn't know anyone did.
But South Africa is at number 114 out of 137 countries.
Okay, so we're right down there.
I mean, first of all, congratulations, Rwanda, because for the first time, Africa has broken into that top 10. And Rwanda is the country everyone's talking about now. So, first of all, big congrats to Rwanda. Second of all, I'm not surprised about Singapore. Third of all, you might want to notice that all of these countries are free market systems, free market economies. Singapore, UAE, New Zealand, Qatar, Finland, Norway, Netherlands, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Rwanda. All free market systems.
Okay.
I don't see any Venezuela in there.
No.
Right? Venezuela is at 133 out of 137.
Sure.
So it's right down at the bottom. Zimbabwe is at 131, right next to Venezuela.
That's interesting.
South Africa is so far down, it just shows you nobody trusts politicians here. The US is at number 16, the UK at 17. So not bad, but not top 10. You know?
Yeah.
Canada is at 15, Denmark 14, Germany 13, Saudi Arabia 12, Sweden 11. And then there are a couple of interesting entries. France is all the way down at 44. Israel doesn't really trust its politicians, but it doesn't completely not trust them. They're in the middle at 50. Russia's at 51. It's interesting that like some countries constantly are in the top 10 for any list.
Anything, yeah.
Right? Like you mentioned the
except
the Scandinavians, Singapore. Yeah. They're always right up there. Switzerland, New Zealand, they're always up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some countries are always down at the bottom. Begging.
And yet here we sit. Would you like to hear a poem?
Yes, of course. What a good idea.
From a 92-year-old woman.
Is she going to say it herself? Is she going to read her poem to us herself?
She did back in 2015.
Is she dead?
No, she's still around.
Okay.
But her poem has, it's just recently come up again because it's been read at a university reunion.
Oh.
It has a little bit of religion in it.
Okay.
A little bit of faith-inspired stuff.
That's all right.
But otherwise,
okay
I think it's really sweet.
Oh.
It's called The Gift Wrap and the Jewel by Wanda B. Goyens.
Oh, that's a good name.
Apologies
All right,
for the
well, let's go. Here's a little poetry.
Okay. I looked in the mirror, and what did I see? But a little old lady peering back at me. With bags and sags and wrinkles and wispy white hair, I asked my reflection, how did you get there? You were once straight and vigorous, and now you've stooped and you're weak. When I tried so hard to keep you from becoming an antique. My reflection's eyes twinkled as she solemnly replied, you're looking at the gift wrap and not the jewel inside. The living gem and precious of unimagined worth, unique and true, the real you, the only you on earth. The years that spoil your gift wrap with other things more cruel should purify and strengthen and polish up that jewel. So focus your attention on the inside, not the out, on being kinder, wiser, more content, and more devout. Then when your gift wrap's stripped away, your jewel will be set free to radiate God's glory throughout eternity.
Aww.
I think it's so sweet.
That's very sweet. Isn't that nice? Well, here's Yoko Ono's reply.
Performing tonight with the Flaming Lips, Yoko Ono Plastic Ono Band.
All right, here's her poem.
Oh, it's lovely.
Take it away, Yoko. Remind us of what real poetry sounds like. Nice, Leanne. Don't you wish you'd heard that one before you heard the old lady's
one? I so wish
one?
I was her rather than Goyens. But Goyens was married for 58 years. She was a qualified architect, a keen dancer who taught herself the New Testament Greek and the Old Testament Hebrew, talented artist who learned German and Latin and taught Bible classes, all on top of raising her 8 children. Take that, Yoko.
Jeez, 8 children. No wonder the gift wrapping she was talking about was so
wrinkled. Jesus. Oh, gee.
8 children.
Mm.
That'll tire out Thor from the Avengers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? Sweet poem. If people want to look it up, where can they find it? What must they type in? What's it called?
It's, if you type in...
Goyens. How do you even spell that?
Goyens. Okay, Wanda, W-A-N-D-A, and then Goyens is G-O-I-N-E-S. Huh? Maybe it's Guanese.
Maybe, huh? Guanese. Juanes.
Sounds like my grandmother's surname.
See, I think he's from Mexico.
Gareth, I don't like the term think that you put in
have
there.
You should have a DNA test thingy done.
No, I identify.
Oh, you identify.
Oh.
So you can't dismiss that now.
All right. Okay.
I identify as Latino.
So, Sia, tell me about Aspire Higher before we get these guys in here.
It's always cool to shine a spotlight on some people who really intend on doing good and are doing good. So a group of friends has set out on going around the country speaking to high schoolers and spreading the message of aspiring higher. Given their own history and what they've learned, then I want to share that to some school pupils.
Okay, so they are actors.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them in.
Awesome.
Let's have the guys in here. We've got Wayne van Rooyen, Jacques Blichnoot, and Grevin Jacobs. They're all going to pop in and talk to us. The goal is for their particular tour to reach 12 million learners across 29,000 schools in 9 provinces. They're going to talk about absent parents, drug usage, self-love, lack of information, and they're going to show how circumstances should never stand in the way of you becoming a hero in your own story. Aspire Higher, a motivational school tour established early last year by these actors. They're also all probably most well-known to you because Wayne is in Scandal, or was in Scandal. He's also been in the SABC 2 medical drama series Hillside in 2008. starred in SABC2's variety comedy show Color TV in 2011 and had a starring role in the drama series Haram Tusen Ikas 2013. Jacques is best known for being in... Jacques, hey, just all of you sit down. Everybody grab a seat here before we even start this stuff. How are you guys doing?
Morning, Gareth.
Well, how's it going? How are you?
Gareth.
Tops, yeah, good tops, to see tops, you.
Tops, good times.
I recognize some of these faces. Right. So, Jacques, you're going to talk to us about what you've been up to. You studied a BA Dramatic Arts at Wits University, right?
Yes, Wayne and I studied together at Wits. And I've been on Seven de Laan now for like 13 years.
A long time. Are you chut full of Seven de Laan?
No, not tell quite. Still loving it. We have an awesome cast. We're a close-knit family there. It's very cool.
Graven, tell me about you.
I'm recovering from the corporate world.
Oh, God, what did you do?
Yeah, I know. I'm just, I was in insurance for quite a long time. But I've been that artist that wanted to always be an artist, but the insurance world just hurt me so bad.
Did you know these guys before they became famous?
No, I actually grew up, like, you know, watching them on TV, and I was like, yo, wow, these guys, amazing guys.
Yeah.
And then I went to go studied media.
Uh-huh.
But I've always been an artist, and so I've been doing poetry, I've been doing stage stuff, and I introduced myself to Wayne, and I showed him what I did, and yeah, that's how it just all started.
Designer, he makes clothes.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
he
quite
makes
good.
Clothes,
so, Wayne, who are you the guy who started this whole thing?
Somebody has to have started. Well, sort of, yeah. So I've
it's
known
not
Jacques.
The ANC where you take collective responsibility.
It's weird though, Gareth, because I had an idea in my head for a long time, and Wayne kind of had it as well. And then, you know, he just called me one day and said, hey, you know, I really want to go and make a difference in young children's lives in South Africa.
But why? I mean, you've got your own shit to deal with. You guys are actors. You don't earn a lot of money. It's hard.
Wow. You bang on the money.
It's true,
though.
Everybody thinks that acting is this glamorous job, and being on television, it must mean you're famous. It must mean you have this mansion with 8 bedrooms. It's hard. Being an actor is really difficult, and particularly if you're in a show that's you have to learn your script the day before. You get called, you get told to sit there and wait. Then they postpone the scene, so you've arrived for nothing. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
So it's not all bed of roses.
Glamour. Yeah. Look, right. I think for me it was about wanting to do more. So I've been an actor for like 13 years,
yes,
and I've always wanted to do something more than just act.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacques and I always wanted to work together. And then I called him, I met Griven, and I decided, you know what? We have a story to tell, and the kids are in need of help. You know what I mean? Like, kids, there's no mentors out there for the kids. When I was young, I was lucky, I was blessed to have good role models around me. Yeah. And right now, the kids are pretty much, they're in shit. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, all you have to do is go onto social media to see how screwed up people are.
That's true.
People are desperate for attention. They're crying out for love.
Exactly.
You can see all their psychological, mental illness and problems displayed for anyone. No, really. I mean,
that's
you just look at how angry people are,
how resentful
they are, how bitter and jealous people are on social media, and also how they're always trying to make it look like their lives are better than they are. Yeah. It's a dead giveaway that you've got.
For sure.
Big problems.
Yeah, that's true. And also, the other thing is, like, you know, let's face it, in the country that we live, I mean, I'm sure everybody's got issues. The world's got issues of its own. But, yo, we've got a lot of issues in this country. And, you know, I think our kids, they're lost, man.
Any of you have kids?
I've got three.
You've got three. Okay.
I've got two.
You got two.
We've got one.
And I've got one.
Okay, so between you, you're all fathers already.
Yeah.
So then you understand how important that role is in your kids' lives.
For sure.
And you can then talk to kids who might not have that influence.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the things that you want to talk to people about.
But I think you were talking about attention as well. I think for us it was about going out to these kids and saying to them, listen, we see you. Yeah. We know. We've been there. It is tough right now. You know what I mean? But don't allow your circumstances to define what you want out of life.
Right.
Don't blame society.
Right.
Don't blame the government. Go out and get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I totally agree with you.
You're seeing us out, like, out there on TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what we're doing. We're using our own stories because everybody's got struggles. You know, people think just because you're an alcoholic or you're a drug addict, you know, there's other struggles, identity issues, you know what I mean? Depression, it's a real thing. So we're out there and we're trying to keep it real, authentic, and we're just going, listen, here we are. And we don't, we also don't announce the fact that we're coming. Only a teacher knows that we're coming.
So
and
how does it work? The kids will be in what, assembly?
Assembly.
Yeah. And you guys will pitch up? Because I mean, I think this is a very audacious goal. You want to reach what?
12 million learners.
That's it.
So how are we doing on that?
10 schools.
We've done 10
at the moment.
Well, it's a start.
No, it is.
How do you even begin to tackle something so huge?
School at a time.
yeah, but I mean, you've only got so many days. Yeah, you'll be, true. You guys, at this calculation, I'm just doing a rough estimate. You're busy until you're 97 years old. I'll have to wheel you on stage by the time you get to your 12th millionth learner. So what the schools will, you'll talk to them, you say, we want to come and talk to the kids.
Yeah.
That's it.
And, or the school will contact you and say, hey, we'd like you to come and speak to the kids.
That's correct.
So eventually it'll gather its own momentum.
Yeah.
And then what do? You get up on stage and say to them, hey, you motherfuckers.
Not quite. not quite.
It's not your fault. Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you say to them?
So the whole talk, you know, we use poetry, we use performance, and we use our own stories to try and reach the children. There's also, Griven's a writer and a poet.
Okay.
So talented. He's brilliant. So he basically starts off the show. And then myself and Jacques slot ourselves in as well. So last year, when we started this thing, we kind of just went and we just shared our own stories.
Okay.
And over the
what
last...
What was the reception? I mean, we the kids...
Incredible.
Phenomenal.
Like, you go out there, you see 1,000 kids and, man, you walk out and it's like you already feel like you've done something.
Yeah.
know what I mean? And that for us... Sort of, it keeps us going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're going to need energy to do this.
Yeah.
No, you will. But it's a thankless task.
They energize you. The kids energize you.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's also because, yes, Wayne and I are on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that makes kids want to listen.
Yeah, they pay attention. Yeah,
they pay attention. So we go there, and when we walk on stage, there's screaming. We've got to try and get them to calm down so we can actually get a word out.
Mm-hmm.
But when we start speaking and really connecting with them, because I've got a thing like I want to make a connection with those kids. So I go there and I speak to them and I make eye contact. And from the crazy, to like, no, guys, I'm here. I want to speak to you. I want to encourage you. By the time I'm done talking, the kids are sitting there with wide eyes like,
so
this, like wow.
You've got maybe 10 minutes?
So we know we use like 30 minutes. We're there for like 30 minutes to an hour.
All right. So
I think an hour.
What can you get across in that time that you feel they need to remember by the time you leave? I mean, there's you know, first of all, kids have very short attention span.
For sure. Yeah.
That's true.
And of course, they'll take note because you're well-known guys. Yeah. You're on TV, as you say. But what are you trying to impart? Like if they end up only remembering one thing, what would you like it to be?
Okay. My big thing is that they must know their worth. Like they're worth so much more than they think. They must widen their horizons. They must look broader. And really, like it's the Aspire Higher campaign, I'm trying to tell them, guys, there's more out there than just what you think is in your little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
But also then the other thing is know your worth, but also help other people to reach their goal.
Yeah.
And that's why we out there is we want to use what our knowledge that we've gained to help them up. But then when they successful and doing well to help their peers as well to reach
their
potential.
So it's like the pay it forward model.
Yeah.
And also like everyone has an opportunity to write their own story and not just to become a statistic. You know what I mean?
True.
Let your story be like dream big and let your story be victorious at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying?
What do you encounter? What are the biggest problems that you hear from these kids? Because obviously it's a dialogue. It's not just you presenting.
Yeah. It's bullying.
There's various aspects.
Yeah, man, it's daddy issues. You know what I mean? There's a lot. There's so much. And you know, we're not psychologists. You know what I mean? We're not professionals in that sense. But it's for us to sort of get the kids to start talking and to also to say to the schools, listen, do you have a platform for these kids? You know what I mean? Is there a space that they can go to and say, hey, we need help? You know what I mean? Because it's not just the kids. It's the teachers. It's the parents. You know what I mean? So I think it's really to sort of to start that dialogue.
So I get that you're not psychologists, but if you already, you've done 10 of these schools and you're looking at doing all of them, 12,000. Yeah. No, I mean, really, it's like 29,000 schools in 9 provinces. You're going to need, you guys, you don't have unlimited time. You've got jobs.
Yeah.
So how are you going to fit this in? And who's going to pay for it?
Hey, thank you for that.
I think part of the reasons why we like coming onto platforms such as these are to kind of get people out there involved as well within the projects that we do. Cause we realize it's a major task. Mm. And right now what we do is we go into the schools and we do our talks, and at the end of each month, we want to have like a mentorship program to put some tools into their hands, but also that we realize that we need other people to come on board as well. So, there's some issues that kids speak about, which we don't have the answers to. And so I think platforms like these, you know, are kind of like catalytic to us having all of that.
And we've approached some potential sponsors and we've had some great feedback, because last year we were doing it out of our own pockets. And we've realized if we want to achieve our goal, we're going to need funding. So we've had some, we've gone to some people and it's looking positive, and we're hoping.
I got to ask you something though, because you're all three fathers.
Yeah.
So what the hell's wrong with parents? Because we didn't end up in this situation. As you already point out, you can only blame the government for so much. Right. You can only blame the economy for so much. You can only blame employers for so much. Parents are in dereliction of duty. Yeah. The reason we've got the social problems that we have in South Africa is because parents don't do their job. Yeah. And parents seem to get a free pass. They seem to be the ones who get forgiven because, oh, shame, you know, you're a single mother and you work so hard, but your kid's a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's okay because it must be the government's fault, or it's your employer who makes you work long hours. But you decided to have the kid.
Yeah.
Right? Why do parents get a free pass? How come nobody says to them, you know what, if you raise a little criminal, you should go to jail too? Why don't people talk about that? If they say, if you've got a little drug addict, you should go to jail too.
Yeah. Sure.
Because it's because you weren't paying attention. You made this child. You are responsible for at least 18 years of its life, and probably a little bit more. Yeah. And if you don't do your job properly, you're creating a problem for society rather than absorbing part of the problem.
I wish I had the answer, because I've got daddy issues, so I don't know.
but I mean,
parenting is a difficult thing. I've realized this having three kids of my own. It's a difficult thing to do, and sometimes you need support from other places. But it all boils down to you've got to take that responsibility really seriously. Parenting is not a joke.
Sure,
it's a real tough thing, and you've got to, and you can't be self-centered. You can't be just focusing on, you know, because I think a lot of times it's parents who didn't get all they wanted out of life.
That's true.
So now that they're parents, now it's suddenly they feel, I still haven't achieved this. So I've got to start channeling.
I'll live vicariously through my child.
You know, stuff like that. Or trying to, you know, get young guys, especially guys as fathers. Fathering is a tough job. That's and you true. can't at 50 still want to be doing things that you did at 21, going out there and, you know, trying to have a party and whatever. Your kids have to be your number one priority above even all your own wants and your own stuff.
Well, I mean, one day I might be responsible enough to have a child. It's the only reason I haven't had myself sterilized. No, seriously. Like, I don't have children, but I know one day I might be responsible enough to be a father.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's not going to happen now, because I know I'm not.
Yeah.
And I don't feel I have the abundance of resources that I would need to raise a child properly, give it the attention, the needs, the care that it really deserves. Plus, I haven't met the right person to share that child and the responsibility with. And should I meet her, and should I be able to convince myself that we would add value to the world with a child, I might have it. But it seems to me like a lot of people just have kids by mistake.
Yeah,
like, oh shit, how did that happen? Like, they never paid any attention in sex ed. Put my penis in there, then, that's just for fun. Nothing's going to happen. Right?
Yeah, but that's the other thing. Like, life happens.
And then it becomes all of our problem. Now, you're going around to school helping fucked up parents to raise their children. It seems to me like everybody's having to clean up after everyone else.
Yeah. You see, that's also one of the reasons why we do it, because you see that parents are not doing your jobs. So now you, as a father of three kids, trying to encourage
to
other
another 20 kids.
Crazy. You know?
I mean, I think it's awesome that there are people like you who are out there doing this stuff. And I mean that as no, you know, a soft compliment or me trying to be patronizing about the efforts that you're putting in. It sounds to me like a massive, audacious goal.
Yeah.
And I can only wish you guys the best of luck. So you're looking for people to sponsor. You're looking for people to help.
Yeah.
You're going around. You'll do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Are you going to go to shit provinces like the Northern Cape as well?
We'll
all of the provinces, man.
We'll go everywhere, man. Everywhere, you know.
Do they deserve help?
Everybody deserves help, man.
Hey, Gareth.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
No, listen. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And congratulations. You've got 10 schools under the belt already.
Yeah.
Only 28,000.
You make it seem like
890 left.
Yeah. One school at a time.
One school at a time. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Well, good luck to you. I think it's a terrific initiative. It's called Aspire Higher.
Yeah.
Is there a place people can go? Is there a social media?
Yeah, they can follow us on our Instagram page. It's at Uniquely Formed.
At Uniquely Formed.
Yeah. So they can follow us there.
Uniquely Formed.
That's the name of our company. Yeah. Uniquely Formed.
Okay.
And look out for other projects as well. We're working on some online content. So yeah, check us out and then, yeah.
Awesome. Anything else you want to throw in? Anybody you want to scream to help?
Thank you for having us on your show.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks.
You know, I like people who do stuff. There's so many people in this country who just talk about stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are going out to the schools. I know that takes effort.
Yeah, man.
You get up on the stage and people think, oh, well, you know, they're just going to talk. But the fact is you guys are harnessing your powers as performers, as motivational speakers. And who knows, there might be one little mind that gets changed forever, one little soul that gets touched in the right way and decides to make a go of their lives rather than be a victim.
Yeah, man.
If you can do that, then you deserve all the help you can get.
Yeah. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks for that, man.
Thanks so
good
much,
good stuff.
Gareth.
All right, Wayne. All right, Wayne, Jacques, and... Yeah, I know. I was going to get there. Jesus.
Amen.
Give me a chance. Guys are not very forgiving. I don't know if you're good with kids. Maybe just let someone else take over there. All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, and congratulations.
Thank you so much,
Jeff. It's called Aspire Higher. You can find them at Uniquely Formed on Instagram, and there'll be lots of stuff, I'm sure, over the next couple of months that's worth following over there. All right, cliffcentral.com. It is Tuesday. Coming up in a little while, I'm very happy to have this man here. His name is Onkopotse JJ Tabane. Been waiting to talk to him for the longest time. Broadcast journalist, one of South Africa's leading media and communication specialists. He is a community activist, a word that usually makes me alarmed because, you know, a lot of people say that they're community activists. What they really are is instigators and political apparatchiks. But in this case, this guy really is. He's also a business executive and one person who isn't shy to talk about it, frankly. His book is out. We'll talk about that as well. And if you've read it already, then you will know he's a regular columnist for The Star, The Business Day, and The Daily Maverick. And he's been the inaugural winner of the Government Communicator of the Year Award in 2002, back when government was still worth communicating for. He's the author of Let's Talk Frankly, Letters to Influential South Africans on the State of the Nation. He is JJ Tabane, and he's coming on to talk to you and me next. Stick around for that and plenty more. Cliffcentral.com, Tuesday morning. It's almost the end of January. If you've pushed through this far, you're almost at the point where you can pay your bills. Lucky you, scraping through, huh? By a ball hair. It's it's tough this time of year.
This is Cliffcentral.com.